Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Welcome to the On-Call Room,
a Grey's Anatomy podcast.
I am one of your hosts, Abby.
And I'm another one of your hosts, Bree. And it's a beautiful,
it's a beautiful day to podcast. Hi, Grey's babies.
Wow. Welcome
to another... How are you?
Yeah, I want to be like, welcome to episode 2 of the quarantine.
Truly, I also feel like I have had so, like, not any human, like, connections, so I just really want to talk to people. So I want to be like, hi, how are you?
Cool, yeah, great. Like, what's going on? How is your life? What's new? Nothing's new with anyone. Everyone's like, just trying to keep my immune system up, you know?
I talked to a man on my dog walk today. Like, I talked to every person that I passed that were, like, in their yard or something, just like, hi, how are you? Because I just was like, humans.
Please connect with me. And they're like, 6 feet away, stay away from me.
Yep. So anyways, we hope you are all surviving right now and you are social distancing and you're listening to podcasts, you're watching movies. If you are a healthcare worker, grocery store worker, janitor, anything that has to stay working, we love you so much. And we are so, so thankful for everything that you are doing. It feels fitting to talk about doctors right now when they are literally holding our entire world together.
Yes.
So just thank you to anyone that is in a field that is currently essential. And we just really appreciate you.
Yeah, because I also want to say a little something about that. It's a little sometimes I feel like a bit of a shame spiral hitting in when you're reading all the memes or your friends being like, stop being a fucking idiot, stay in, like, stay away. And I think it's important, like, if you have the opportunity to stay in, great, do it. But like you were saying, for essential people like doctors or people in healthcare or people who work at a grocery store, because none of us would get food if people weren't working, don't feel ashamed that you're at work. You know, like, you can't help it. You have to go to work and just take as many precautions as you can as you work. I just wanted to say that for the people who are still having to work, because I know I am, and we've definitely cut back our hours recently, but I feel like, fuck, I'm not doing my part because everyone's telling me to stay home and I don't really have that option. So I'm just trying to be really safe when I am at my job. So yeah, if that's thank you so much. You're doing the best you can.
And for those of us that do have the ability, I have been having to, like, literally mantra to myself. I don't know if mantra is a verb, but I'm going to use it as one, that says constantly, if you are staying home to save lives, you are being productive.
Yes.
I am someone that loves to be productive and feels like I need to constantly be doing something. And the truth of the matter is, like, I have nothing for my job besides, like, there's, like, yeah, some obvious, like, I could tweak my way, I could blog, I could do all these things, but that, like, honestly, in this moment, just doesn't really feel important. And so I've had a really hard time of, like, feeling like it's not okay to just be home. And, like, and I don't have kids, which, like, shout out to all of you parents out there that are in what I think I saw a funny thing that was like a hostage situation, not a quarantine. Yeah. Like, because you are caring for people. It's just so weird to be home alone. And, like, you feel very guilty. Like, I was playing Animal Crossings and then I was doing a workout class and I was like, I feel like I should be doing something else. But honestly, this is what I'm supposed to be doing right now. So I just have to, like, also just reiterate to everyone that, like, it's okay to do this. It's okay to rest. It's like our world needed a fucking rest.
Yeah. The other thing I want to say is, like, shout out to anyone who struggles with, like, any type of eating disorder or disordered eating, or don't feel like because you're stuck at home, you have to start a new workout routine. If you're not there yet or you don't want to work out, you don't have to exercise. I know like a lot of people, I will say like exercise helps your immune system. It helps lymphatic drainage. That's great. But you don't have to come out of quarantine being fit.
Fuck no.
So you don't have to lose weight. You don't have to limit your eating. If you need to stress eat, fine. You know, do whatever you need to do and don't feel bad about it. It's hard when social media, when everyone's posting like, I did these really great exercise class. And you're like, I'm literally just trying to get out of my brain and not be anxious. And I can't do that. I will say it's helpful to move your body, but if you can't, don't feel bad about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like it's this, it's really weird. I was talking, and I know we're not talking about our podcast right now. We'll do that soon. You know the intro, but I feel like it's really, I don't know if you feel this at all, and but you know how like you used to scroll and you'd feel like a lot of like FOMO, at least I would, of like people out doing this. And it's honestly like, I feel like a sort of weird, sweet relief that like, okay, as terrible as this is, I feel like for once in the entire world, everyone is in the same boat. Not true, because like privilege and I feel like I'm digging myself in a hole. But anyways, all to say that like, I just feel very grateful for our community. I feel grateful for the people in my lives and the people that, like you said, are not shaming me. Like letting me handle this however I need to. And we, as your two besties of the Grays pod, just want to reaffirm you and know that whatever you are doing to get through this is totally okay.
Yes.
And hopefully you're listening to the podcast.
Yeah. And hopefully, you know, this passes soon by us doing our part and distancing ourselves when we can. Hopefully we can get out of this quickly and really take a look at ourselves and figure out why the fuck Mother Earth is sending
us to our rooms.
Yeah, sending us this message. We're here for you. If you want, if you're just feeling crazy and you want to reach out to us, please do on Instagram at the On Call Room Pod. If you have a funny meme or you just want to say that, you know, you listen to the podcast and you loved it, or if you have like a favorite moment from Grays or something, or a conspiracy theory, just reach out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. We'd love, oh, we should do a conspiracy theory episode.
Yeah,
that
we should.
Would be good. Okay. So we, as we said, we're a Grey's Anatomy podcast and we're like, welcome. We might have some new listeners. I was on MuggleCast.
Congratulations.
Honestly, a dream of mine. I have been a patron of them for 30 months, it said. So almost 3 years. I have been listening to them since I was in high school and I finally got chosen. So those of you that have been waiting like a few months to be on ours, please just know that I waited 3 years to be on MuggleCast. And I finally did. It was so much fun. I was weirdly really nervous, but I felt so supported by so many of our listeners that, because I feel like we kind of have like a double crossing group here. And so anyways, if you came from MuggleCast, welcome. We do not talk about Harry Potter here much, but sometimes we do.
Sometimes.
So please, yeah, stay tuned and we hope you found your Grey's Anatomy community you've always been looking for. If you want to get more involved in the podcast, you can go to our Patreon. It's www.patreon.com/theoncallroom. You can be an intern, a resident, or an attending. All of these have really awesome benefits like our Facebook group, our show notes, getting the podcast a day early, co-hosting, bonus episodes.
Zoom meeting.
Honestly, like, yeah, Zoom meetings where we hang out once a month. It's honestly like I copied everything from MuggleCast and then we put our Bree and Abby twist on it. So please join along there. And if you are a current patron, I can never get that.
It's okay.
Right.
It's okay.
I think it's because I was a lifeguard and the word patron was used in like every video. So I never want to say Patreon.
Yeah.
Anyways. If you are a current one, we are pausing your payments for the month of April. So if you have been one already, you will not be charged for April. We just want to do whatever we can to try to help everyone right now who's probably not working. But if you do join, you will have to pay for your first month. And then we'll just keep it updated from there to see what is happening in the world. So thank you for your support. I know it's just a small thing, but we're hoping it's helping and it keeps you in our community because we just love you.
Well, and we also want to say we will be pausing payments, but we will also still be giving you all of your benefits of being a patron. So we will be doing a bonus episode. We will be doing a Zoom hangout and we will be putting out weekly episodes. Usually when we pause payments, that means we're not active that month, but we're just doing this the little bit that we can for our community and for others. And we hope that by taking a month off, that maybe in a month we're all in better financial situations and you can continue to help support the podcast because we're really grateful to that. So
yeah, think about your $10. It's like, that's a lot of cans of beans.
Yeah, it is.
I've been eating a lot of beans.
Uh-oh. That's why Abby and I are social distancing right now because Abby's had a lot of cans of beans.
Oh, God. You can also follow us on Instagram at the On Call Room Pod. There's always great updates when we release new episodes, and we just keep you informed there sometimes when we have news. It's fun. You can talk to us.
And then we have a website. If you have anything you want to suggest for the podcast, there's a contact form there. It's www.theoncallroompod.com. So reach out to us there.
Yeah, we have a lot of announcements this morning, but it's evening.
It's
but also
like 7 o'clock.
But also,
this is the daily.
Yeah. What would he say? He always says at the end, here's what else you need to know
today.
He says it so weird. Here's what else you need to know today.
Oh, Michael Barbara. So great. Okay.
I love him so much. I'm kind of weird. I don't know what he looks like and I don't want to know because I'm kind of attracted to his voice.
Oh, I know what it shows up on your podcast app. I know. He doesn't look like how I thought
scroll.
He looked. Don't scroll.
I don't zoom in because I don't want to know. I picture him as like a really like preppy, but like super hot dude. And I don't think that's what he is.
That is not what he is. But he's
fine.
Yeah,
I don't want to know.
He's fine.
Okay. Go ahead. Yes.
Okay, so we wanted to talk a little bit about A-Day. We have a bit of an update. We have had some listeners come to us with some concerns, rightful concerns, about sizing. And we in our podcast want to be as inclusive as we possibly can. And we believe that all sizes are wonderful and beautiful and great. And we believe in quality clothing for all sizes. We talk about A-Day a lot. We love them. But their sizing is a bit limited. And so we decided that we would reach out to them and ask them where they're at, if they have any goals or plans in regards to expanding their sizing. And Abby's going to kind of speak to that a little bit.
Yeah. So I, like I've said before, that A-Day has been a sponsor of ours for a while. And I've had the pleasure of meeting a lot of the lovely women that work for the company in New York. And not because I'm that cool, just because I went to New York and stalked the crap out of them. So before anyone starts to think that I think I'm really cool, I'm not. So we reached out to them with those concerns and we are really, really happy with their response. And we wanted to share that with you all because we think you deserve that. So we reached out to them and they said that, first of all, they thanked us for starting the conversation and that they know that this is a hard conversation and that problem solving is always at the forefront of their design concepts. The woman that actually responded says she's a US 14-16, which I also know that there are sizes much beyond that. I know that's the smaller size of plus size. But she like basically told us that she understood our listeners' questions and concerns and she wanted to answer them. So she said that, I'm just going to read it because I feel like it'll be easier than me doing it. She says, expanded sizing has been at the forefront of our product development goals since last year. Apparel development above a US size 12, when done properly, constitutes a separate work stream. We knew that in order to do it right and to do it the A-Day standard, we had to build it in the team capacity. This year, we've expanded our product team and worked diligently to standardize our size grades across our suppliers to ensure fit consistency and are confident that we have a solid sizing base from which to extend our sizing. We expect to have our first extended size orders, extra, extra small through extra, extra large, or roughly US 00 to US 20, in shop sometime next spring. We acknowledge that this sounds like a long time frame for such development, but it's the timing we know will allow us to get it right, which is the most important thing. We wanted to let our listeners know that currently in sizes 14-16, you can get their Something Borrowed shirt, their Turn It Up pant, their Straight Up pant, and the Throw It Higher legging. And they also have 3 collections coming this spring and summer that include an XL, and they're adding XL to 5 additional staple styles. So I just want you guys to know that like we care a lot about this. We don't want to promote something that we don't feel is inclusive. So we obviously aren't going to like push this on anyone, but I did think it was important just to let you all know that they're trying and they're working on it. I also wanted you to know in the meantime, there are some really amazing plus size brands out there that do the same thing. One I wanted to shout out to in particular is called Universal Standard. They are just a really cool like essentials clothing line for women. I don't even know how high the sizes go, but it's like completely inclusive. So I recommend in the meantime, if you want something like A Day, but you can't find it, you check out Universal Standard. They're not sponsoring us. I just want to give you guys an option. They also said that they would love to know from our listeners, A-Day said this, which styles you're particularly interested in. So if there's one in particular, please message us. We will let them know and pass along the message. That's what we are all about, transparency. We want to make this happen. And if you do decide to shop from them, make sure you use our code. It's the On Call Room, correct?
Yes,
at checkout, and you can get 25% off your first order. So we're really thankful for that update, and we'd love to hear more thoughts from you guys.
Yeah. Thanks, Abby.
You're welcome. I feel like this is really newsy. I'm here for it.
Okay, we have one more.
One more shout out, and it's actually kind of cool. So it's quarantine time. We are all inside our houses. I don't know about you, but I've been listening to podcasts all of the time.
Yes.
Someone even reached out to us, one of our listeners on Instagram, and asked like she wanted to start a podcast, and she was curious like how we got started and what mic we use. Bree and I really fumbled through the start of this. We didn't think anyone would listen to us that much. And B, we just like, we're kind of trying things as we went. It would have been really nice to have someone holding our hand and walking us through each step.
Yes.
And so there's a really cool option for you guys. I saved it on our Instagram highlights if you wanted to check it out. But my friend Katie, who I knew from college, has a podcast called Let It Out. She's had it for, I honestly think, like 7 years now. It's really, really wonderful. And she created a digital workshop that teaches you how to put together a podcast. It's over 100 hours of interviews with top podcasters, including us. Also, people who are like That's So Retrograde, One Part Podcast, Food Psych, so many more. There's audio lectures, there's resources, there's at your own pace homework and accountability and a deadline. So you're like actually working with her to help build your podcast. If you go to the website, which is letapodcastout.club, I really love that. I want it to be the oncallroom.club.
Yeah. How do we get that?
I know, right? It's letapodcastout.club. You can join there and you can look at all of the podcasts that have been released from people who attended this course. It's really, really amazing. And we are really lucky to have a $25 off code for you. So if you visit letapodcastout.club, you can enroll today for $25 off by entering the code ONCALL. Again, that's letapodcastout.club. Enter the code ONCALL at checkout. You are actually supporting us in this, and we'd love to hear your podcast. Maybe you want to talk about private practice. Maybe you want to talk about Station 19. Let's have podcast out there.
Maybe you want to have a conspiracy theorist podcast about conspiracy theories on private practice in Station 19. That is what I'm looking to hear.
Yeah, I would love that. So please start your own podcast, join letapodcastout.club and enroll today using the code ONCALL.
Perfect.
That sounded so scripted and it wasn't at all. I'm proud of us.
I'm really proud of us too. I don't know that. I mean, I feel like we should maybe just get into the episode.
Yeah, I think so too. Welcome to season 9.
Yeah.
We're so
grateful. We're so grateful you are all here. We're happy. We're past the plane crash, except not really, because these episodes end up being about it. But happy we don't have to witness that again.
Yeah. So maybe really quick, before we enter into season 9, I'm just curious, Bree.
What?
Who are you going to miss the most? Or like, what are you going to miss? Because I feel like we're crossing over into like what I call new grays.
Okay. Like, right?
I feel like we're leaving old grays and entering new grays.
Yeah. So who am I going to miss the most?
And who are you most looking forward to being a part of?
Okay. Well, I'm definitely going to miss Christina the most. I'm pretty sure she leaves this season, right?
Does she?
Yeah, she does, because Derek leaves. Does she leave this season or season 10?
I thought it was season 10.
Okay, maybe it's season 10. Part of me.
When does Christina? Well, I mean, Derek leave. She leaves 2014. What episode does Yang leave? A Hard Day's. Oh my God, last appearance. It doesn't say what season. Keep talking. I'll figure it out.
So if it's Christina leaves, I will miss her a lot.
Sorry, it's season 10.
Okay, it is season 10. So, but I mean, that's coming soon. Guess like for people who have left, like I missed Teddy, but now knowing she comes back, I guess like
that's— No, I think that's fair though.
That's fine. And I am excited for Joe. I will get into it a little bit when we talk specifically about the episodes, but I wasn't excited about them, but now I really, I don't know, I've grown to like her. So,
Yeah.
I'm excited to watch these from a different perspective, like knowing who and where Joe's like character development goes and how long she's on the show. I haven't done rewatches of this part of Grey's, really much. At all much. So I'm excited for that. What about you?
I'm going to miss the Sloane Torres Robbins triangle. Like I really enjoyed that. And it just sort of, this is where it falls apart. And then I'm looking forward to, I love you pouring more wine. Love that I can. I'm looking forward to seeing our— wait, are they attendings now? Our residents?
Yeah, they're attendings.
Yeah, our residents as attendings.
Fellows? Like I'm, are those the same thing?
Yeah, they're fellows. Yeah, I'm excited to see that. And we got a little bit of a taste of it this episode.
Excited to see them in dark blue scrubs.
Yeah, and to see Jackson like confident. Do you know what I mean? Like we're getting to the good Jackson right now.
Yes, for sure.
So that's what, so I guess we should jump in.
Yeah. No breaks today?
No, because I don't know how to do it when we're to time it out. So
okay. So no breaks today, ladies and gentlemen.
No breaks. Just fill your— we'll just, you know, we'll fill your wine while we chat, while we do the monologues.
Yeah.
I'm sure you skip. Do you think anyone skips over the monologues? Like hits the 15-second skip?
Probably. Or maybe I thought you were gonna say the break music. I was like, it's too short to like skip over the break music. They probably skipped over that full 20 minutes of us talking about nonsense.
Yeah. And if you did, you would have missed the part where we announced our first live show. So just kidding. We didn't, but you should still go back and listen. There's lots of good news.
We're going on a tour during social distancing.
Yeah, exactly. Oh my God, that'd be terrible.
Yeah.
Which one do you want to read?
Well, first of all, we're in season 9. This is episode 1 and 2, Going, Going, Gone, and Remember the Time. I'm going to make you read the longer one, so I'm going to go first.
Okay.
Going, Going, Gone. Dying changes everything. There's the emotional fallout, sure, but there's also the practical stuff. Who's going to do your job? Who's going to take care of your family? The only good thing for you is you don't have to worry about it. People you never knew will be living in your house, working your job. The world just keeps on going without you. They say death is hardest on the living. It's tough to actually say goodbye. Sometimes it's impossible. You never really stop feeling the loss. It's what makes things so bittersweet. We leave little bits of ourselves behind, little reminders. A lifetime of memories, photos, trinkets. Things to remember us by even when we're gone. Meredith Grey. That is like really sad right now. So, okay.
These are really sad. Okay, so this one I just want to bring up too is like a voicemail to Christina.
Yeah.
So, it's Meredith. It's for Remember the Time. I had this memory game when I was a kid. A bunch of cards face down in rows. Each card has a picture. You turn one over, look at it, then turn it back over. Then you have to try and remember where its matching card was. Sometimes you have no idea, and other times it shows us exactly what we need to see. The cards seem completely out of order and random, but you keep turning them over, and the more cards you see, you get a sense of how everything fits together. This is a place where horrible things happen. You were right to go. You're probably escaping disaster. Look at me. I practically grew up here, and you're right. It hurt me in ways I'll probably never get over. I have a lot of memories of people, people I've lost forever, but I have a lot of other memories too. This is the place where I fell in love, the place where I found my family. This is where I learned to be a doctor, where I learned how to take responsibility for someone else's life. And it's the place where I met you. So I figure this place has given me as much as it's taken from me. I've lived here as much as I've survived here. It just depends on how I look at it. I'm going to choose to look at it that way and remember you that way. Hope you're good. Bye. Meredith Grey.
Damn, nice job, Ab. It was really impressive.
Sometime
impressed by
I'm going to just leave you that voicemail.
I'm going to be like, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, I'm not going to remember it and just be like, Abby lost her rocker. It will be during this quarantine time. And I'm like, she really lost it. And
yeah, the next time you don't pick up my phone call, I'm just
going to start reciting that. I'm going to be like, I know I'm supposed to social distance myself, but like, I think I have to go be with her.
To go see her. Oh, so funny.
Okay, so shotgun workup. We have Derek Shepherd. He has numbness, hand injury, crushed joint, broken bones, and nerve damage. Then we have Mark Sloan. He has a cardiac tamponade, and he's in a coma. E. Sommers, appendicitis and ripped cecum. That's, that's the appy.
The Joe's patient. Yeah.
Meredith Gray, scalp laceration. Christina Yang, dislocated shoulder, reactive psychosis, extreme exhaustion, dehydration, and exposure. Stuart has short bowel syndrome. Arizona Robbins, broken femur, soft tissue infection, and sepsis. And there was a neuro patient who had meningioma and an air embolus.
Whoa.
And then she was going.
Yeah, that was a real quick downhill.
I just did the title of the episode.
Oh my God, you win. I didn't even catch it.
You were like, yeah, she really was.
Don't worry, I'll get the next one because it's an easy one to add in.
Yeah.
I gotta write it somewhere so I remember. I gotta write it on my hand. distracted. All right, rounds. There's a lot of them today. We have our new interns. We have Dr. Joe Wilson, Dr. Shane Ross, Dr. Leah Murphy, Dr. Stephanie Edwards, and Dr. Heather Brooks. There were some others, but they didn't have last names, so I don't think they're important.
Yeah.
We have, in the same line, we have Meredith's new nickname being Medusa and Bailey's being Booty Call Bailey, which I am forever going to call her in my head now. We have, sadly, Mark's last episode, including the episode where he dies and the episode where we get to see what happened when he was alive for a little bit longer. We have Derek's hand and Callie operating on it. We have Arizona and when she crashed, how she deals with Karev, her leg is cut off. Honestly, there's just every person. Christina, her experience, her PTSD, and her going to Minnesota. Then we have April back on the farm and then trying to say goodbye to Jackson. And then we have Jackson taking over as the plastics posse. So I feel like we're just going to kind of go through every person.
Yeah, like, I think so.
Yeah. Let's do our first notes first.
My first note is Joe is here.
Yeah, mine too. It's just Joe, Steph. Yeah. I miss Steph. I liked her.
Yeah, I don't really remember if I liked her, but I don't know.
Remember how
I guess
she's dating Jackson when he leaves April? It's quite sad for her.
Well, you mean when he leaves her and... He said, leaves April.
And then she like kills that rapist and almost explodes. So like there's some cool stuff.
Yeah, there's some good stuff coming. Okay, first, before we get into all of it, I want to ask you, how did you feel about what they chose to be the first episode of the season and then the second episode?
Okay, I was going to talk to you about this too. I'm unsure. I truly don't know if it was like shock factor of in the next episode we see Mark Sloan again, or I don't know why they didn't start with the second one.
Right. So John and I watched them together, and of course John had a million questions. I was like, there was a plane crash. You missed that episode. We're not going back. Stop asking questions. I love you dearly, but I am in the middle of taking notes right now.
Right.
But then we watched both of them together and he was like, wait, why did they do these in this order? And I was like, huh, honestly, I don't know. Like, I guess they've always just been in that order. But then I was like, yeah, it really doesn't make sense that they chose to do it this way.
Right. It's weird.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's to like quickly answer the question of where is everyone as we speak? And there was a lot more cliffhangery, you know what I mean? Like, with the Arizona thing, like you think she's dead and then she's, I don't know. It doesn't make sense to me. I would love to know if a listener has an idea of like why they think they did it this way. Cause I would have loved, like even the way the second one starts out with Meredith on the ground after the crash, like that's where I felt like it made more sense.
Yeah. And I guess maybe they just, I'm just trying to think of why they would do it that way. Just like to not please the viewers at all, like, and not show you what happened immediately.
Which is what you want to see.
Yeah. Or maybe they did it, maybe, you know, because I talked about like how it was like a fast forward episode. Maybe they knew that they couldn't do that for the season premiere. And so they needed to show where they were at, like after all of this had passed, but they still knew that people would want to know what happened, but really felt like it wasn't a good idea to do that as a season opener.
I have an idea too. They couldn't then like because the first episode is like the 30th day, right? You know, it's right. Mark's last day. And I felt like they got to spend a lot of time on that day. And if they try to do everything at once, Mark wouldn't die until that next episode. So maybe they, you know what I mean? Like there's no way they could like include what happened afterwards as well as Mark dying on the 30th day.
Right. And
Like the impact of his death wouldn't be as big if the second one played first because it didn't show his death. You know right. what I mean? Like we got to, so I don't know. It was really interesting. That to say though, I really enjoyed them.
Yeah, I did too.
They felt cliffhanger-y. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I do remember though, seeing this for the first time. For some reason, I like can remember this episode and mm-hmm. seeing like Meredith be Medusa and her in scrubs. Like, made me weirdly sad because I was like, oh, our main characters are like, they're not babies anymore. Like, they're just... And then I remember, I don't know how you felt, but I remember being very frustrated that there were new interns. I was like, oh God, who are these people? And are we going to have to, like, get to know them? Similarly to how I felt about the newest interns in, like, current seasons.
Right. And, like, the plane crash happened. It leaves with them, like, literally out in the woods. You don't care about new people. You just want to know about what happened to the people you care about.
Right.
You know, like, so yeah, I don't know. I have no answers for you. This is weird.
Yeah. So I don't know. I just wanted to see if you had a thought, and I guess neither of us really do, and that's fine.
Like, the second episode I liked way more.
Yeah, I think so too.
The back and forth of like each person and how they dealt with it and what happened to them, that was so much more satisfying.
Yeah, because there are characters that we know and we're invested in where I feel like there's like an introduction.
It opens with Joe. Yeah, like it's so weird.
Yeah, this like new character and which is crazy to think this is season 9. Like I think I had a note, I can't believe she's been on the show this long. Like
yeah.
She entered the show in season 9 and we're on season 16. That's almost, she's been on Grey's Anatomy half of the time.
If almost you think about as it, much as Christina has.
Yeah, she's been just on the second end of it, and which is
more
so,
than George,
yeah,
more
which
than
is
Izzy.
So weird to think about because I don't think about her as like a character on Grey's Anatomy that, you know, but she's been on there just as much.
Right. I think of like, I think of when you tell me to name Grey's cast, I think of George and Izzy before I think of her, which makes zero sense.
Yeah. So
George only made it to even Burke.
Yeah, I know.
Who was on like 3 seasons.
It just shows you though, the power though of like an original cast.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
And how they like stick in your head. And if you join a show like 9 seasons later, you're not going to be seen in the same light as these like original characters. So.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Okay, what do we want to talk about first? Do we talk about the new interns? Just get them out of the way?
Sure. I don't really have much to say.
Well, I just can't believe how different Joe is than how she is on current seasons.
Yes, I will. Yeah, for the most part, like, I have notes about Joe. And I said, Joe is scrubbing in. I remember hating these interns. Also, Joe is, it's crazy because Joe is the O'Malley.
Right.
You know, and it's the exact same thing happens to Joe that happens to George in the appendicitis or appendectomy.
Right, which it's set up to fail, correct?
Right. That's what Owen says, which I thought was very kind of Owen to be like, hey, don't get down on yourself. Like you're being made an example of.
Right. And then he was like, don't fucking cry in front of me.
Yeah. He said, cry somewhere else where I don't see you.
Also, though, it reflected how he then, when he goes to talk to April, I know I'm jumping around, but he says, like, I should have prepared you for this. Like, I should have made you stronger. Yeah. So I feel like new Owen Hunt as chief is going to be babying people a lot less, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, Joe's like crying in the hallway. Also, it was weird to hear her called Wilson. Again?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, I forgot that was her last name and not Karev.
Well, in this newest episode, sorry, spoiler, but Meredith calls her and it's like, Karev, you're late. And she's like, I'm not Karev anymore. And then she says like Wilson. And then she's like, no, I don't like how that sounds either. So she's just Joe right now, which I think is.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah. And I also like Steph is like really like nerdy looking compared to, I feel like how when she leaves the show, she's like a babe. Like, yeah. Not, she's still a babe, but she's got her glasses on. You know, like she's just like, she was kind of like quiet. And then Ross too will end up like kind of playing a big part. Leah Murphy, she's the one with long hair, right?
Yeah, well, I guess we can talk about that.
She comes back. Also, doesn't she come back for like an episode?
I think she does. We can also talk about that Karev is sleeping with two of the interns.
Wait, two of them?
Yeah, in the beginning of the episode, he's sleeping with Heather.
Brooks, right?
Heather, yeah. And then Callie is crying in the supply closet, and he's in there with Leah.
Oh, I didn't realize it was with someone different.
And he's
different.
Saying the exact same thing he was saying to Heather.
Oh, that makes me like him even more. It's yes. Just ridiculous.
So sleeping with all of the interns, which is...
Well, yeah, then he'll sleep with Joe. Does he ever sleep with Stephanie? Let's hope not, or else that's like literally everyone.
Also, it's so sad he sleeps with Joni, marries her, and he's off the show. I'm so sad about it, you know?
It's all quite sad. The only thing that gets me out of it is reminding myself that it's not because like Alex Karev had to leave the show. It's because Justin Chambers needed to leave the show. Yeah. Like that's the only thing that makes me okay with everything.
Yeah.
So Joe is just a lot different than the Joe we know today. I feel like it's really cool to see how much she's just like grown. Also, I thought it was really weird how when Bailey was trying to get into the on-call room with Ben and Alex is in there, how he's like, occupied, like yells. Also, I know we talked about like confusing how like the order of these episodes. One of my notes is, why is everyone here? Am I watching the wrong episode? I had to pause and make sure that I didn't like jump ahead. I was very confused.
Yeah, so. It was very confusing.
Mm-hmm. Want to talk about their new nicknames?
Yeah. So I love that in the beginning of the episode, like Joe is talking to, I think it's Stephanie, and she's really afraid to go give charts or something or lab results.
Uh-huh.
And she's calling this doctor Medusa, and she's standing, Meredith's standing next to Bailey, and Bailey's always been the Nazi. So you're like thinking it's Bailey, and then it ends right. up being Meredith, which I think is so great.
I love that Bailey says, take it from the Nazi. It's good to be feared.
Yeah. And so like Bailey thinks she's still feared, you know, like I've got it still. And then Richard, I think is the one, not to tell her what the nickname is, but like you have a nickname too. And it's not the Nazi. Like it's, and
let's talk about that scene. It was my favorite thing I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Cause okay. I wrote so many notes on it. Cause I couldn't stop. Was it at the end of the first episode or the end of the second one?
It was the end of the first.
Okay, yeah. Oh my God, where is it? Oh yeah, when Baylor Robert Weber goes, you've been happy, and your interns notice that your happiness coincides with the arrival of Dr. Warren. And then when she's like, "Tell me," he goes, "I can't. I'm a gentleman, and also I don't wanna." And then Karev says he's leaving.
Avery won't tell her either. Yeah.
Oh God. And then Karev is like, I'm leaving forever.
Yeah. He's like walking out and like stops and turns around. He's like, I'm only saying this because I'm leaving forever. And like, even Richard is like, don't know. He's like shaking his head. Like, please don't tell her. And then he's like, they call you booty call Bailey. And she's just like, bah! Like so shocked by it.
I love it too that he's like, goodbye, Dr. Bailey. And she's like, goodbye, get out of here. Like that's like her goodbye to him forever.
Yeah. Like, I don't want to see you. You have I'm completely embarrassed by this.
Yeah. Booty call Bailey.
Yeah.
Also, yeah. So Ben is at UCLA, but he came back and he was answering Bailey's questions because the interns couldn't. So he's definitely an intern at UCLA.
Yeah.
He's only home for 12 hours.
One of my notes is Ben and Bailey are really all about getting it on.
They sure are.
Like that's all they're looking to do. I understand like they don't get to see each other that often, but like, I don't know. Also, I feel like I would hope that like I would have sex and good sex and want it, but also like I would be like, I want to chat with you. Like, what's going on?
I was just
going
to say, let's go have dinner and drinks and then I'll fall asleep early.
Yeah. I think, Abby, you and I are definitely more quality time than physical touch because like...
I think so too.
I don't know. I'd just be like, yeah, like I want to like just be in your presence and you know.
I'd be like, I've been masturbating every day.
Yeah. Like I'm fine. So... Maybe you'd have a lot of phone sex or like FaceTime
that
sex.
That scares me.
Phone
I'm
sex?
I'm afraid. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's what, anyways, I don't know what I'm saying.
I guess maybe you and I should talk about this some other time.
Yes. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I'm recording an episode that
I know.
Lots of people are listening to. Okay. I have nothing else on the new interns other than I forgot that I'm really annoyed by Heather Brooks.
Yeah, I just
I don't know
like
why.
I just remember
what
being,
is it?
I don't know, but I just remember being really annoyed by there being new interns. I was like, I don't care about this at all. One of my
right.
notes, I will say one of my other notes about like I was saying, I'm interested in seeing how Joe grows as a character. I said I love seeing Joe and Mare interact right now because they're friends now.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like really cool to see like Joe be really afraid of Meredith and like this really timid intern and now knowing like they're really like they're colleagues and they're, I don't know,
yeah.
work well together.
Yeah,
and they're friends.
Yeah.
yeah.
Maybe we should talk next about Christina's Minnesota experience.
Okay. So yeah.
Because it feels like it's its own thing, you know?
Yeah. Very Midwestern, let me just say that.
Oh yeah, I wrote, this is so Midwest. Like the when they're waiting for the ambulance and he's like, you got to hear this story. And just like the way, I keep having to not call him Feeney too. It's Dr. Thomas. I have to like drill that into my head.
Yeah.
But I love that it's like frozen and yeah, everyone is like weirdly so nice, like in an obnoxious way. I was like, is that what we're like?
Well, yeah, I love the part where she like comes into the surgery and they all stop and she's like, you can keep working. They're like, no, actually we can't because of mistakes, but like, please talk to us. And like, he is like encouraging her to have like Dr. Thomas in and stuff and is just like so nice about it. And in that scene, and then when he's like, go see, what does he say? Like, go have some R&R or something.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like so Midwest to me. And I think it is exactly what we're like.
Oh, God. Well, at least we're nice. Better than mean. Yeah, well, he's like, yeah, you need to melt your Seattle heart.
I will say like during this whole quarantine thing, like when it first started, when we weren't quite like mandated yet, but like people were starting to freak out. I went to go get groceries because I didn't have any. And the store was like nuts. And I was at Aldi and there was this lady in the parking lot and she gave me her cart. And I was like, how is it in there? And she was like, you know, there's not a lot of food. It's a little crazy, but everyone is really nice right now. Like I went in there and everyone was so pleasant with each other. We were just like, oh, pardon me. Yeah, you know, you take the last like clementines. That's totally fine. Like I'll be good. And I was like, God, we're so Midwest here. But yeah.
Yeah. Thank God. Versus like fighting over things.
Yeah.
So I also, there's a part when Christina is in the gallery and Dr. Thomas is operating. It's happening at the same time that Meredith and Joe are operating and the interns are talking about Meredith and she can hear them. I was curious, do you think Dr. Thomas could hear her? That's when she's like, everyone in this frozen tundra is too polite to say, you're going to kill someone, old man, retire. Like she's talking to Meredith on her FaceTime, Christina
is.
Yeah,
I don't know. That's a good question. I'm assuming not. I think maybe the intercom wasn't on, but maybe. I mean, and honestly, I don't think Christina would care. I think she'd say it to his face. Like, I don't think she really cares.
It's really interesting to see, like, how different she is than them. Because, like, yes, they're being, like, obnoxiously nice, kind of. But also, Christina is just really harsh. You know what I mean? Like, her way of things. And I was proud of her for that part when she's, like, you can observe, you can do this, you can tell me your stories, you can do whatever, but like you cannot steal my surgeries. Yeah. Like I was proud of that moment, but I'm also like really looking forward to her to start learning from him because that's where the good stuff is.
I know, but of course they have to set it up.
Right.
Yeah, but she's supposed to come home or come to back to Seattle and be there for yep. at 5 o'clock when Mark gets taken off life support, which we'll get to. And, you know, she's telling Meredith, like, my flight got pushed back, my surgery got pushed back, so I have to push my flight back. And, you know, Meredith is like, it's okay if you're not ready. Like, I understand. And so it's kind of, we kind of understand that Christina has supposed to flown back to Seattle maybe a couple times and like can't do it, can't seem to get on the plane. So,
yeah, it's like the beginning of all of that. Also weird to see Christina in like green scrubs.
Yeah. I was also going to say weird to see her in a turtleneck, but she actually wears turtlenecks in Seattle too. So,
also weird to see her in, I didn't think Minnesota was the place she was choosing.
Yeah, Mayo.
I guess it was. I wasn't putting that together in my head. It's also, I miss Teddy so much. Okay. One thing too, I don't know if this would be a good time to talk about it, but we were talking about like, I don't mean to be jumping that much, but we were talking about Meredith being like a mean attending. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to point out that quote that Owen says to Joe in that scene in the hallway where he says, Dr. Gray isn't mean, she's strong. She's not going to go easy on you because that would be a disservice. I just forgot to mention that before, and I think that's a great line.
I think that's a good quote, and I think that really describes Meredith, too.
Yep. and when Christina's boss tries to give her R&R, she's like, I don't think you're thriving. He's like, here we work as a team, not as individuals. And I was like, oh, this is Christina's worst nightmare.
Yeah. My note is Christina isn't thriving and needs to sharpen up her sharpen.
Oh yeah.
Or soften up her sharp Seattle edges, which is
that's so what the line was.
Funny.
Brilliant.
Do we want to talk about Christina in the second episode? Do we want to talk about her as a whole? Okay. So that's like where she's at now, but
which seems great. Like it's weird how not great she was.
So she's like catatonic, which is weird to see because even when she had her PTSD from the shooting, like she was a bartender, she cut Callie's hair, she redid the apartment, you know, she seemed a little manic almost. And time she went completely catatonic, which was, I mean, probably an appropriate response to what she went through, but it was very hard to see.
Like their whole story, like starts with Meredith, but we will talk about her in a second. But they all get sedated to fly home, mm-hmm. Which I thought was like wild. It looked like they were like in not Air Force One, but you know,
army plane.
The type of airplanes I see in Homeland, which I've been watching recently.
Yeah, John was like, "What type of plane are they on?" I was like, "I have no idea."
I also wrote, I want to fly this way.
Just put me out,
sedate me, and I'll sleep.
Yeah.
Also in that scene, Bailey says, we're going to crash on some tropical island and get attacked by a polar bear. That's a Lost reference.
Lost reference kills me. Because we are a Lost podcast.
Yeah, we are a Lost podcast. God, Desmond. We are all Desmond right now in quarantine, just so everyone knows. Yeah, Christina's dead silent. Even when Mare sits next to her, she's not speaking to her. And then it shows her home with Owen. So he must have taken her home. And he's like bathing her.
Which he always wanted to wash her hair. So he gets the chance.
He got what he wanted. I had like a little emotional moment when she's in the hospital bed still and they want to bring her up to psych.
Yeah.
And Owen says, like, I'm the chief of this hospital and her husband. Like, you will not do that. And I weirdly, like, we always like to talk about, we should have a segment of, like, rare moments we like Owen.
Yeah.
And this was one of them. Like, the way he fought for her and for what he knew would not be best for her. Although maybe psych wouldn't have been. I don't know. But, like, I just, like, was really, I loved the way he stood up for her in that moment.
Well, I have a note, like, right before this that say, I like Owen in this moment. So there must have been.
Yeah.
I think that's when he's talking to April. I think there are like a couple moments, like redeeming moments with Owen in this particular episode where And then the way he is just being of complete and total service to Christina when he brings her home, like, yes, we will get you through this. Like, it's going to be fine. Like, you'll go back to work whenever and like in whatever timeline you want. Like, we're going to get you through or whatever. So I don't
know. The only thing that's like, well, yeah, I think in general, Owen Hunt is great in trauma. Do you know what I mean? Like, when trauma is happening, he is the person you want on your side. But I also thought it was weird that when he was like kissing her in the bathtub, like, cause they'd like essentially, you can hear me, right?
Yeah.
My headphone did something weird. Okay. They'd essentially like broken up sort of, you know, and like, I just felt like I would have liked that scene a lot more if he hadn't then like kissed her on the forehead a bunch. I don't know though. I know they just had sex, so she obviously loves him. So it's not like weird, but
yeah. Well, also there's that scene where he like, she has like reactive psychosis or whatever, and she's very violent and he takes the restraints off of her and she kind of fights him and then like leans into him and he like, I don't know. I think she wants him there.
I think you're right. We learn a lot from her about what happened after we left the last episode.
This shit is really hard to listen to.
Yeah, she says she was awake for 4 days. She remembers every minute. I did love the part where she's like, Mark just kept dying on me. Like, no matter what I did, it was really annoying.
Yeah.
So Mark kept dying. Meredith was asleep. Yeah, she drank her own pee. Arizona got the last of the water. And then the part with the animals fighting over Lexi.
Yeah.
I forgot that. That is fucking dark.
Yeah, I said these are horrifying stories. And she just kept saying she can't get out. Like, so she can't get out of her brain. She can't get out of that those moments, those 4 days in the woods. Which also, why did it take them 4 days to find them?
I don't know. That was wild to me. Because when it left that last episode, you were like, oh, they can't survive for more than like a day.
Yeah, so they were out there for 4 days.
Yeah, like I'm honestly surprised like Arizona lived through that. And Mark, although he didn't really, but you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just wild. Also, like I think in our heads too, we just assume that when they're found, they're gonna go to Seattle Grace, but that's like not the case, you know, because that's not where they were. And so it was also shocking to see them all like with different doctors. Like I felt this desire to like get them with the right doctors. Right. You know, like
which we'll talk about with Arizona.
Yes. So then Christina decides, like, all of a sudden it skips from her being, like, catatonic to her, like, packing up and leaving.
Oh, wait, before we get to that part, I want to just say that the interns are, like, kind of making fun of her. And
oh, yeah.
Yeah, and then they're like, oh, she was this great surgeon. She's, like, not talking now. She was in a plane crash, blah, blah, blah. She ends up throwing a face at the interns and breaking the window. And that's why the one doctor was like, she needs to be in psych. She's violent. Like, that's...
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So just wanted that to point out sense. That happened.
Thank you.
Yep.
And then, yeah, so then she, like, decides to go to Mayo, I guess. Or she snaps out of it. We don't really see how she, like... start talking again. Although maybe her talking to Owen was like the beginning of her talking, you know?
Yeah, I think maybe.
And she's packing up and Meredith is helping her. And they have like a fight sort of. And I really like, Christina says to her, so many horrible things have happened to you. You shouldn't be okay with it. Meredith puts up like a really good argument. Like, you shouldn't leave yet. You should wait. Like, you know, all these things. And she ends up saying to her that your person is you. It always has been.
Which is just like, damn. Sad.
Yeah, they're definitely, this is like their worst fight, I feel like.
Yeah, that's a really harsh thing to say to someone. That's like being like, you're really fucking selfish and you don't think about anyone but yourself. That's like what you're saying.
Right. It's also really interesting to see, like, how well Meredith takes. I feel like this is also kind of the beginning of Meredith, like, handling shit. You know, like, the first 7 seasons are her, like, not handling things. Mm-hmm. And, like, she's definitely a lot stronger now. Like, even the fact that through all of this, she's like, well, I'm going to stay in Seattle. I'm going to do this, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so then she's in Mayo, and we talked about that. And I wonder, did you think, and they didn't end up, like, giving us this, so maybe not, but... Dr. Thomas or whatever, Feeney, he is in that surgery with her, even though she doesn't need it, but it's at 5 p.m. when she looks at the clock and realizes that like Mark is dead now. Do you think he knew that and he was like there in case she reacted?
No.
Okay, well, in my fan fiction, he knew that that was happening today and he was being protective, Dr. Feeney, and was just like finding an excuse to be in there in case she like wasn't doing well. That's my fan fiction.
I don't know how he would have known that. I just don't feel like Christina would have opened up about that to anyone. I don't feel like that's like her.
I think Weber would have contacted him. That's my canon in my head. My head canon. Yeah, I like it. I like thinking that he's caring like that, you know?
No, I love it. I think you're right. Weber probably did reach out, so.
It's just my own head canon. We can write that now. It's a conspiracy podcast.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, who do you want to talk about next?
Okay, let's...
Well, we could end Meredith and her knowing that at the end... Meredith leaves her that voicemail, which is the monologue, and Christina calls her back and just says, "You are my person. You will always be my person."
Tears, man. I got really emotional when she said that. I will say too, like when Meredith like is in the hospital after the plane crash and Bailey shows up with Zola. Oh, that like broke my heart. But also like Bailey showed up multiple times with people's children. She showed up with Sophia and Zola. And I was like, oh, she's just bringing kids around. But I guess that's like,
she knows what
they
need.
Yeah. She's a mom and she gets it. But,
I love when Bailey and Richard are wearing these dope fleeces. They always look cool out of trauma. Like when, you know, like when they're traveling and they wear those blue coats.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like they look badass. And like Bailey and Richard showing up like mom and dad coming to pick up their kids was like something that I needed, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, you pick who we talk about next.
Let's see. Maybe we can quickly just talk about Jackson.
We haven't done. Yeah, let's do it.
So he sticks around.
Does he stick around because he knows he can take over Peds? Mm.
You mean plastics?
Sorry, that's what I meant. Yes.
I think he sticks around partially for April. I think he also sticks around because, Mark isn't working. And so he wants to make sure that, like, someone's there in that department. And he's been trained really well by Mark, I think. I think it's, like, a good thing. I don't think he's, like, trying to get ahead or anything.
Right. I think so, too.
I mean, there's not much about him. We know that he's still in the show. He decides to stay. And he's chatting with Mark.
Yeah, he like goes to his bedside and is like talking to him about every patient that they have. And he's like legitimately like having conversations with him. Like he's like hearing what Mark would say in his head and be like, no, you're right. We should do it that way. Like I thought that was just really showing how good of a teacher Mark was.
Yeah, and being like, we can do better. You're right. And yeah.
Yeah, it makes you feel okay at the end, like that someone else is going to be, like, that's why they were teaching him so well, you know?
Right.
I also thought, so they bring up, it's when they're, I think when they're eating lunch, or no, it's some scene when they're like, you're just, Alex is like, because you haven't had sex with anyone since Lexi, which A, like he brought up Lexi and that's really fresh. And then he goes, Jackson goes, I have banged people.
Didn't hear that part.
You didn't? It was like early in the first episode, which he's obviously talking about April, which no one knows, but I just loved this. I have banged people.
That's really funny.
I felt like episode two was so heartbreaking because we'll talk about Mark in a second, but during his like surge or whatever, he wants to see Sophia.
He has the speech, man.
Oh, yeah, the speech first. Yeah, so I wrote it down. Do you have it written down or do you?
No, I just have the if you love someone, tell them speech. I said, here's the speech, but I didn't write it all down.
Yeah, so he says to Jackson, if you love someone, you tell them, even if you're scared that it's not the right thing, even if you're scared that you'll cause problems, even if you're scared that it'll burn your life to the ground, you say it and you say it loud and then you go from there, which is like, right now doesn't seem that important because we don't know who Jackson loves. Do you know what I mean? But it will be so important and it's such cool foreshadowing.
Yeah. Yeah.
He then wants to see Sophia and Jackson tries.
I know, but he doesn't get there in time.
I know, and it's not because of April, but like April stops him and he can't do both things. It's so sad.
I know, and April's leaving for home and she like wants him to like react and respond, but he's like trying to get Sophia. And so like he kind of fucks up on that end and then doesn't get Sophia there and then has to cover Sophia's eyes and it's just a fucking mess. And
yeah. Right, because I think when Jackson, when Mark started giving him that like deep advice, he was like, oh fuck, he's gonna die. Like I have to get Sophia.
Right, because I think he realizes it's a surge, which we'll talk about, which is crazy and weird. So that's like all I have on Jackson.
Yeah.
Do we want to talk about, so we have, I'll tell you what we have left. We have April moving, we have Arizona, we have Derek, and then we have Mark.
Let's talk about April.
Okay. So April sticks around for a while and she's in her light blue scrubs, meaning she's still a resident. And then it gets to the point where Owen, I don't really know what happens. What, because like she was fired at the end of season 8.
Yeah, so she, right, but she wasn't in the first episode. She wasn't in episode 1. So the only thing she does in episode 1 is she's at the farm. In the flashback, she stuck around until Mark was feeling better, just to like help out.
Gotcha. Okay.
And so in episode 1, we only see her. We see Hunt leave and we are confused where he's going. We think he's going to see Christina.
Right,
and then
which
he's on a farm.
Yeah, and like Christina's response to that was interesting too. Like you couldn't tell if she was excited or like, oh fuck, right. Why is Owen coming here? I think it was a bit of excitement. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. But
I think so too.
But then, yeah, he shows up on a farm and he goes and gets April to come back to the hospital. And he says to her, he keeps looking for do-overs. And that really made me want to cry. And like, I really liked Owen in that moment and was like, come back. Like, you deserve to be in this program. Like, I should have never fired you. I should have never let you go. And you don't belong here. You belong in Seattle. So.
Right. It's the only thing of that entire day. Yeah. It's the only thing of that whole day that he has control that he can change.
Yes. That's a really good point.
It's so sad.
Looking
You're
for
right,
do-overs.
Why the fuck did it take them 4 days? They knew the plane crashed. How could they not find them?
I have no idea. But like the, like having that feeling, like being in your life in a certain chapter where you're like, fuck, if only if things could be different, or if I would have done this differently, or, you know, and I just, that's such a human feeling. I don't know. I just really feel like he lost his marriage. Like, he, like, fucked over all of these doctors' lives who, well, we don't really know that yet, but, like, he did with the plane thing.
Right. I was emotional during that scene as well, and I'm happy that April will be coming back because she doesn't belong on a farm.
Right.
And that scene, like we talked about with Jackson, was just really sad. She wanted a reaction. He said, meet me at the bar. She wasn't there, obviously. She's already on the airplane. So this is the season of Jackson in April, y'all.
Yep. Which is very exciting. Okay. So
can we get Arizona over with, but hers is just so depressing.
Hers is really hard. So, okay. First of all, the doctor in whatever state they're in wants to amputate her leg. And she is like, the doctor's speaking to Owen and like Arizona's behind a curtain and she opens the curtain and it like does not give consent for her leg to be amputated. And she says like, get me home to Callie. Callie will know what to do, which is also a lot of pressure to put on your wife. I will say like
so much.
I understand that Callie's a really good doctor, but like, That's a lot to put on her.
Yes.
So then we fast forward and like Callie's doing everything she can to keep the leg and keep her infection down and has all these like.
And she's trying to be positive. Like she's like super encouraging.
Yeah. And I think we should also mention too, like in the beginning of the episode, they make you think that Arizona's dead because they're like, hey, I'm sorry about your wife. And she's like, thank you. And then she goes in a supply closet and cries. And we don't see Arizona until the very end. So they like, we know that she's alive, but I think when we were watching that, we're like, holy shit, did Arizona die? You know, because...
Yeah, it was a great like television, you know, like thing, like to make us think that. I feel like it's very entertaining and good.
Yeah. But Kelly ends up, like, in the first episode, yelling at Arizona, asking her to snap out of it. And she's like, I snap out of what? Pulls her, how can I snap out of this? Shows her amputated leg. Her and is leg like, is when gone. You cut off my leg. So then we're like, fuck, did Callie cut off Arizona's leg? And it was really Karev, but ugh, it's just so much, Abby. It's so much.
It is. And it's also like, this whole storyline, this to me is like the Ava smush face. Ava, is that her name? Yeah. Like,
yeah.
Like I just hate this part because it's also... It's, I just don't know that, like, why does she think that she can't be a doctor with one leg? Like, you can stand on a prosthetic. She's a doctor. Why does she not understand that?
I think she's obviously grieving something. I mean, she's grieving the loss of her leg. I don't think she doesn't understand that. I don't know.
Right. That's true.
I just, you know, like, I think people respond to things like that differently, you know?
Yeah.
Some people end up being like paralyzed in their life and immediately are like, I can do everything that I could do when I wasn't. And then some people are like going to a deep depression. Or you think about illness or something, like how just people respond to their illnesses or, you know, I think it's a very realistic response to be super depressed and want to sit in bed and be like, fuck off.
I think so too. I also just have to really quick interrupt because I texted Jake to bring me more wine and he came in his underwear and he just mooned me and also gave me more wine. So I'm just sorry. You're talking about like something very serious and yeah. So
hi, Jake.
Body
hi, Jake's,
rolling right
hi
now.
Jake's butt.
Bree says hi.
And hi to his butt.
And hi to his butt. So anyways, I hear you pouring. Everyone, fill up your wine glasses. This is a long-ass episode.
This really is. It's a season premiere. We have a lot of shit to say.
It has more happened than in the finale, I honestly feel like.
Yeah. So I don't know. I feel like I understand as a viewer being like, and also knowing as a viewer who has seen these, that this is going to last a really long time with Arizona with this leg thing. But I think her response is completely normal.
Normal. Yeah. I think so too.
Yeah.
It's just so depressing. And it's also so sad that like her wife is the surgeon that works on bones. Do you know what I mean? Like she tried everything she could. And when we finally see the moment where like, and I know I'm skipping because I know we'll talk about her fight with Alex. But when we see the moment where like it's life or death, like Callie had no choice.
No, Callie was like, you know, Karev is like, she's crashing. And then Callie's just like, it's the leg, like cut it off. That's such
cut
a like,
it off.
Oh, that's such a like, oh fuck moment. And Callie isn't even the one to do it. Like,
right.
Which I don't know if that's better. Like, I don't know. It's very complicated, but I can imagine, like, if my spouse was an orthopedic surgeon and they chose to cut off my leg, I would probably have a lot of resentment towards them. Like, really? Fuck you. You cut off my leg. But I mean, clearly it was the right choice. But
it's like resentment without having a choice in it. Like you, like it's just like a physical resentment. Do you know what I mean? Like you can't even reason. There's no reasoning there. She knows that like Callie didn't want to, but it's still, that's the reality. And you have to be mad at someone. And so she's mad at Callie, you know,
which
and
I think in the beginning, she's
which
really mad at
Karev. Also really hard to see because so we hear a lot of like, there's a lot of talk in this episode. Callie says to Owen, like, I'm afraid she'll never be the same. Like, it's like, here's a shell of her. And the Arizona I love has been scooped out. And like, I feel like they did a really good job of like, she did a good job of acting that, like the person who plays Arizona, because, you know, Arizona is usually so like bubbly and kind. And we see like a flicker of that when Callie goes into surgery on Derek's hand and she like gives her a pep talk, but then she just like leans back down. Like it took everything she had to do that. It's just like when she fights with Alex or like doesn't fight, but yells at him, it's so weird because we're not used to seeing her being that like hateful.
Yes.
She says to him, you had no wife and no baby. You had no one. I only went on that plane because I was pissed at you. I'm only here because, or she's like, I had thoughts that I'm only here because he's so selfish and thoughtless. And no matter how hard I tried to make him better, he's still a horrible person. So now I keep wondering why this would happen to someone like me instead of someone like you.
Which
so
is like, what?
Fucking harsh. Yeah. Especially for someone like Alex to hear, who like already thinks low of himself, you know? Yep. I just wrote Arizona does not do well with the unknown.
Yeah.
Because she like doesn't know what's happened to her leg. She doesn't have a plan. Oh God, it's just really sad. Like trauma is just really sad.
I will say I do love the scene where Callie is crying about Arizona and Krev comes in to like have sex with Leah or whoever.
Uh-huh.
And then she's like, get out, just get out. And he asks if she's okay. And then he just shuts the door and he stays in there and he just like squats down and like stays.
Right, while she cries.
Yeah. Even though she like told him to leave, he like sticks around for her and doesn't say anything. Well, I thought that was really great.
It's like another way where he knows it should have, like he feels like it should have been him. So it's like, he has to sit in this grief because, like, he knows that it should have been him. It's just like, I don't know, it's like survivor's guilt. That's just as hard sometimes.
Yeah, for sure.
So, yeah, cut it off is the last line. That one's real rough.
Yeah.
So she doesn't have a leg.
And then
so there's that.
We have Derek's hand. Which that's actually
can we remember he broke it?
Yeah. And so that's actually who Callie was working on, who was in surgery working on Derek's hand when she couldn't cut off Arizona's leg.
Which, like, what a time. Couldn't Alex have asked anyone else what to do about Arizona? Why did he have to ask Callie?
I think because she was like probably the directive, like, you know, or like you know, he had to choose, which I also love that, like, Meredith runs in and asks, like, Callie, what can I do? And she's like, I'm fine. And Meredith's like, what can
I
do?
Take a
deep
breath.
Yeah, like, I'm really, like, I'm okay. And then Meredith, I love that Meredith doesn't push it. And she's like, I know you are. And, like, leaves. Because that's her husband in there and his hand and his, like, livelihood and his job. And for her to just, like, trust that Callie is fine, even though she might not actually trust that to, like, make
to
her
give
think,
her the confidence. Yes. Yeah.
Like, I know you're going to be just fine and you're going to do a great job type thing. I thought it was really great on Meredith's part because I, as a wife, I don't think I would be able to do that. I'd be like, we will do this surgery some other time. Like,
right, right.
You know.
Yeah, I wouldn't be as nice as Mare.
Yeah. So Derek tries to do a surgery. His hand goes numb. I did get like GGBs when he said it's a beautiful day to save lives. I thought of it's a beautiful day to podcast.
Oh, God. I wish we could get Patrick Dempsey to say that and then we could just play that before we start every episode.
Oh, we could maybe just take a little like clip, a little sound clip. And
do you think he ever says the word podcast?
No.
In any acting show he's ever been in that we could like dub it.
It's a beautiful day to podcast. It's like completely different.
Yeah. So Derek's hand, it's like not working. He doesn't want the other doctor to do it because Callie has a more like risky, but like possibly could get him to 100%. It's just, do you ever sometimes wonder, and I'm just feeling salty right now, but like, he had that redeeming moment at the end when he said to Meredith, like, it's okay. Like, Zola has two parents. We are here. That's enough. But that was earlier. When we see episode one, which is at the 30-day mark, he fucking throws shit because his hand isn't up to par yet. And, like, he is just so angry. Like,
he's a pretty angry character.
Yeah, it's just, like, hard to see. It's not Callie's fault. She did all that she could. He fucking broke his hand and ripped it out of an airplane. Like, it's not, I get, again, it's like this, all these episodes are like people finding who they're going to be mad at about this trauma, you know?
Right. But I don't think Derek is ever mad at Callie.
Well, that part, it's that scene in the first episode when he tries to operate and his hand goes numb and he drops the instrument and he leaves and she comes back in and she's like, it was too soon. We shouldn't have done it. And then he's like, you said I'd be at 100%. And he like throws the table.
Yeah. I guess.
I don't know.
But I don't think he's actually really mad at Callie. You know,
Callie,
like.
Yeah, just mad at the situation.
Yeah. And I think, like, this episode is just showing us how each person is dealing with grief and loss. Because, you know, Derek lost the function of his hand. Arizona lost her leg. You know, Christina lost her sanity and security in life. Yeah, you know?
Right.
And then Meredith lost her sister.
Right.
And so, and then everyone lost Mark. You know, I think it's just like trying to show how each person deals with grief and loss.
I think you're right. So it ends with him not having 100% back yet, but like some.
Right.
Which hopefully.
Also, we hear about Dr. Nelson again. Dr. Nelson's on standby. So that's good to know. He's still working at the hospital. Shadow Shepherd is still working there.
He also he consults with that one doctor, that neuro doctor, and gives what he would do. And she tries to attempt it. And even Ross, the intern, is like, oh, she's going to do this. She's going to cut it right out. And he's like, oh, wow. Is she, like, I suggested that. And then it totally goes wrong. And this doctor, like, doesn't do it. And that was just really sad because that patient died. And Derek saw a patient that, like, he could have saved.
Yes. And he's like he could have done that procedure flawlessly. And, like, clearly this other doctor couldn't. And he shouldn't have suggested that.
Right. Exactly.
So, yeah. Okay, should we get to the last one? Should we get to Mark?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess too, also we should say that Karev decides not to leave.
Yeah, so there's him and Marev kind of like a fight at the airport, and this is where we get the iconic scenes that are in all of the good Alex Karev YouTube compilations.
Yes.
where Marev says, everyone is leaving and everyone is dying.
Yes.
And Alex
she said,
says,
nothing
I can't.
Is the same. I said, it is so
yes,
true.
So true. And we have that line where Alex says, I can't stop being the guy that should have been on the plane that crashed.
Yeah.
And then he says to her, I'm not going to stay in Seattle just because you don't want to be alone.
Which is really difficult harsh. Because, like, Christina said something pretty similar, I feel
right,
like.
Right.
You know, so everyone's kind of telling Meredith, like, fuck off. You need all of us and we don't need you. But then they all come back and they're like, we love you.
Yeah. I love how Karev comes back. He's like, that guy's going to fucking ruin the PEDS program. Like, yeah. He's like, I can't let that happen. And then I love that they hug while they're FaceTiming with Christina, and we don't have to talk about that guy, but yeah, he like wants to get rid of the like program that Alex set up. He's just like not doing well. So Karev wants to save the day.
Yeah. And then I don't remember if it was Christina or Meredith, but someone's like, Karev ditched the flight. And then someone said, what a loser.
Which, yeah. So good.
Yeah.
I think it was Meredith because Meredith also, which we could talk about, got on a plane to visit Christina.
And couldn't go.
Couldn't go. She had like a panic attack, which was really sad to see. And so, yeah, she's like, what a loser when like she did the same thing.
Right. Exactly.
Okay. Mark Sloan.
Yeah. So this first episode was kind of like, there were
like these
weird, like weird zoomy camera things. Like it was supposed to be like home videos. I hated the noise of like the zoom in of the camera. I thought it was
really.
Hey,
that's what it does in the 90s, y'all.
I know, but it was really annoying to me. But it was nuts to see like, whoa, we are 2012. Yeah. And I was like, that feels like forever ago. And then I wrote 2020 sucks.
It sure does.
Oh, so that's funny. Oh.
I loved how in the first episode, so like Mark's in a coma. In the whole episode one, he's fully in a coma and dies. But yeah. I love when he's in the coma and they're like all like at peace with the coma, sort of, you know? And when Callie's like dirty talking and she's like, it's so much cooler with my boobs out.
Yeah. I also love that she's doing it in front of Derek and Derek is not fazed by it.
Yeah, Derek's like, well, if that won't work, then nothing will.
Also, Derek looks at Mark and says, you always had to be the first, which is like, ugh, that's morbid.
Right, which I wonder what else he was the first at.
I don't know.
I guess having kids, I was trying to think of then the flashback started, which I loved the flashback. I wrote, I love this because I love flashbacks. I loved Mark talking to Derek at the wedding and he's just still the same cocky bastard where he's just like, you're so lucky to have me. Like men like us, you know, they're just like, just being bros. And it was just fun to see 1994 also.
Yeah. And then Callie and Mark were going to make a sex tape. Which I...
Yeah, whoa.
Whoa. And I love that Callie was like, just 1 second and throws a pillow at the camera, which I think...
Yeah, and his line was like, you're going to want to watch this again.
I was just like, I don't know that I would ever want to watch a sex tape of myself. Ever.
I don't think I would either, but I don't know. Mark Sloan is super hot. So there's like a part of me...
But like imagine that, yourself. Like imagine Mark Sloan.
No, blur me out. Blur me out. I don't know. He's just so confident that I would hope that the confidence would like rub off on me. You know, also Callie's so fucking confident.
Yeah.
They're both like iconic in bed, I imagine.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure of it.
Then there's a video of him at Callie and Arizona's wedding, which at first I was confused and I thought these were all the same. Like I thought this came after the Derek one. And I was like, wait, why does he have a child at Derek's wedding?
Yeah.
But he's saying that like, he talks about the anniversary dance, which I fucking love the anniversary dance. It's my favorite part. No one does it anymore. How Callie and Arizona will be the couple that's 60 dancing at Sophia's wedding. And whoever the fuck's filming is like, why won't you be? And he's like, you need a partner. They ask who would be. And he says, Lexi,
which is
bold for a wedding video.
Yeah.
Although were they dating then? No, they weren't.
No, they weren't. And it's also really sad.
Everything is sad.
I have a note and I don't know what this means. I said, what do we think about these flashbacks?
I like them.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, they're not as good as a flashback of like a past episode, you know, like where we've been at the moment and we're seeing it again. I feel like those are maybe more impactful, but it was still kind of fun.
Yeah. One of my notes is, God, I don't ever want to do that. What Derek and Callie are doing, waiting for the one you love to die. Like that is like excruciating. And also like there was something about that scene that I thought was really powerful because it was like Callie and Derek who were the closest mm-hmm. to Mark, but then all of like the support staff and like also support like friends of Mark were sitting outside respectfully waiting as well. Like, you know, Jackson was there and Bailey was there and Richard was there. You know, like everyone was there, but they left like Callie and Derek to be the only ones in there. I don't know. It was just like something really beautiful and sad and somber about that whole scene.
I agree 100%. It just was really sad. And I still am like not come to terms with that. We have no more Mark Sloan.
Also, why was Meredith doing surgery during that time? Like, because she was really pushing for Christina to come back and be back by 5 o'clock when like they were going to take Mark off life support. And then she was doing an appy.
I think she just wanted Christina there. And then like, I mean, you saw her, she couldn't even handle it. Like she couldn't just sit and watch the clock, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to talk about a few things with Richard. So, first of all, we'll talk about when Mark actually dies. Richard is, you know, going through what's happening in the procedure. And they're like, we know it. You don't have to say it. And I love that he said, I say it because even if you think you're prepared, you're not. Your brain can't fully absorb what we are about to do. By saying this, I'm giving you time to catch up.
Mm.
I thought that was really great. And I actually thought Richard in both these episodes was just, he's like the guy you want on your side.
Yeah.
And I felt like he'd already come to terms with it because he helped Mark make all those decisions.
Yes.
You know, And so he was like their, not guru, he was like their...
guide.
Sort of like, yeah, like on this journey. He was like their death doula, essentially. And I just thought that was really great that he read through all of the things. When Mark actually dies, I said it was really beautiful to see Derek showing real emotion. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't often see Derek, like, cry. I feel like the last time we did was, like, when Meredith had drowned.
Yeah.
And it was, like, really, it reminded me he was, like, a human. Especially because he'd just thrown a tray, you know what I mean?
Like, right. And not, like, a super aggressive, angry. Like, most of the time, the emotions we see from Derek are, like, aggression.
Right. And so it was nice to see him just like break down. I mean, it's his best friend. And at that same time, it flashes back to just that clip of Mark holding Sophia and not saying anything.
Yeah.
And it's just really sad because it's like not only are they losing friends, like Sophia doesn't know her dad, which is just really
And I think
sad.
It's so interesting to like know that they were sitting there. Like, Mark has been in a coma for 30 days, so we haven't been able to communicate with him at all. But then even just sitting there, like, waiting for him to die, and then when he flatlines, like, the immediate emotional response of, like, he actually is dead now, even though he hasn't really, like, been there. It's just weird how, like, as humans, we respond in that way. Because, like, he's really kind of been dead for 30 days, but...
Right.
You know?
Yeah, it's really rough. Even more rough, I think, is seeing what happens when he had the surge.
Yeah. So this is a thing?
Yeah. I mean, I know I didn't know like the fact that he came out of a coma, but I do know like I've been with my great grandma in hospice and she had like a day where suddenly she was like fine and then she died. But yeah. I didn't know. I mean, he literally like came out of a coma. So that feels like a little extreme. Also, the way he was like, wait, I wrote it down. And he's like, Torres, where you been? I wrote that this is so iconic. Like, I remember that moment happening.
Yeah.
I also think maybe like that order of the way they did it was because like they didn't want us, like, it's almost more tragic to see that he was alive and know that he dies than like to see that and have hope and then he dies again.
Yeah. Know? Yeah.
Before that, when Derek offers to like spend the night with him or whatever, when Callie goes to sleep, I love when Derek says to him, if he starts going south, I'll tell him to cut it out. He idolizes me. He'll do anything I say. he also breaks up with Julia, which is rough.
Yeah, that was like pretty much he loves Lexi and like whatever. We had to get her out of the picture. So
yeah.
Sorry, not sorry. Bye.
But Mark immediately following being picked up from the airplane crash has to look at Lexi in a body bag.
Yeah, and he starts crashing. Because I said, like, Mark just wants to die because he wants to be with Lexi.
Yeah.
Also, Mark...
Lexi's waiting for me.
Ugh. Also, Mark recognizes that it's a surge, right?
Right, yeah. So when Chief walks in, he says, is this what I think it is? And that's even weirder.
Yeah, like, are you able to, like, recognize that in yourself while you're having...
I don't know. Maybe if you're a doctor?
I don't know, man. Like, I feel like your brain wouldn't be able to do that, but maybe, I guess. I don't know. Like, I just feel like that's being in, like, some type of, like, psychosis and being like, I'm in psychosis right now, aren't I? Like, that's... I don't know. But, I mean, it made for great television because, like, Richard's
for
like,
sure.
I don't know. Like, maybe.
Yeah.
And so then fill out like his directive, his advanced directive. Is that what it's called?
Right. Which I love that when they're going through the one, he goes, Mark's like, well, don't go crazy, but yeah, if you can get me back, get me back. And I just thought it was really touching, like Weber's role in that of being this like super calm presence, not giving his input on what Mark should put, truly letting Mark choose what's best for himself, which is like also a little different than remember when Izzy was dying and he's like, not fucking today. And he like smacks her and then stops. You know what I mean? Like doesn't let her die.
Today.
That's what he says. Those are his exact lines. one other thing when he's surging, as I'm going to call it now, with Jackson, he's talking about, he's talking to Weber and he's talking about Callie's hands. I don't forget who he's talking about. And he says, she's so beautiful. Her hands are. And then he says, sometimes you wish people would see themselves the way you do. Hmm. And that is just like really beautiful. And to think that like, I don't know, I think that about my friends. I wish they would see themselves the way I do, you know?
To think that while surging is really powerful.
He had a lot of powerful thoughts.
And then he really wanted to see his kid, and he didn't get to see his kid one last time.
Which is, like, those were the signs Weber gave. He'll start giving, like, intense advice and then wanting to see loved ones.
So what scientifically is happening? Any Graves babies out there who have studied surges, I want information on this because this is wacky.
And not the soda. Not the soda.
Not the soda. Yeah, I don't want to know that that's going to, like, put me into, like, diabetic whatever. I want to know about surges when you're about to die. That's...
Yeah. And I also have a note that when Jackson was talking to Mark, it's when Mark's surging and they're talking about patients and he's like talking about the girl, like, did you tell her breasts look good? Like, we're here to make people feel beautiful about themselves. And Jackson says, sometimes when you talk, I feel like a male prostitute, which I like love that moment too. And there's that really sweet moment, when Jackson says to him, he says, you've taught me a lot, but I think I know what I'm doing now. I'm good. The plastics posse is going to live on because I can take it from here.
Mm.
It's just really sad.
And then...
he's fucking dead.
He dies. So...
really sad. It was a great... he got 2 send-off episodes.
Yeah. It's really sad. I think they did a good job with it of like...
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel sad about Mark dying, but also for some reason, I don't feel as sad maybe about other characters dying just because I feel like, yeah, like he had a good send off. Like he got to like say the things he wanted to say to his loved ones. People got to be mm-hmm. there by him when he died. Like,
right. Like he knew he was going to die. He got to say what he did. And yeah, he was surrounded by the people he loved.
Yeah.
And he was going to go meet the love of his life.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's really sad and I miss him and I miss him as a character, but like, I feel like out of the deaths, like he had a better death than like getting hit yeah. by a bus, maybe.
I also think like it helped close out Lexi's death.
Yeah.
Like I would hate to have seen him gone on and like been in a romantic relationship with someone else,
yes.
you know? Although I feel like that's like Meredith now, but I also, yeah, you're right. Like it wasn't as... It was a good ending. It felt equal to that of like Christina's ending a little bit. I mean, obviously not as satisfying because he's dead, but it felt thought out, you know?
Yeah, like a more thoughtful like mm-hmm. exit of a character. If they had to yep. kill him, they gave him like, I honestly think it was better than like Derek's.
Oh yeah. Derek's was real sad. He just laid there like a dead person.
Yeah. So
Mark got to surge.
Mark got to surge, so.
God damn it, if I'm dying and I don't get a surge.
Yeah, we are grateful for Mark's surge.
I am going to be like on my deathbed.
You know who I am saying the Catherine Fox Award goes to Mark's surge.
Agreed. I also like, I'm going to be on my deathbed and be like, don't worry guys, I'll have a surge anytime now.
Yeah. Any minute
like,
now.
Waiting for it.
Y'all
waiting
just,
for it.
Just wait. Do you have any stray notes?
No, not that are worth talking about.
Okay, wait. I think I had one. It was a quote. Hold on. Let me find it. I did think it was kind of funny that all the interns were hanging around listening to Bailey have sex. Let me find it. Oh, Karev says to Arizona, trading in your wheelie sneaks for a peg leg. And then he says, sorry, my bad.
Oh my God, I missed that. That's terrible.
Which is really funny. Or maybe he says that to Callie or something, but he says trading in your wheelie sneaks. I don't know. And that is, I think, I had other notes, but I don't think it really matters.
All right. Should we do notes and trivia? You can do the big long one.
Okay.
Or we can alternate, whatever you want.
Going, gone. Why don't we just alternate? That sounds fine.
Okay.
So this episode title originated from the song Going, Going, Gone, originally sung by Bob Dylan.
This episode scored 11.73 million viewers.
The table read for this episode took place on July 16, 2012. I really needed to know that.
This episode takes place 3 months after the plane crash, which is confirmed by Karev in the airport.
It also takes place 30 days after the event shown in Remember the Time, as Mark is taken off of life support after this period of time.
This is the first episode to show the Black Grey's Anatomy opener since season 2. Weird.
Yeah, weird. Alex says Jackson hasn't banged anyone since Lexi, to which Jackson non-convincingly says he has banged people. We do know it happened as he had sex with Mara Keaton in One Step Too Far, as well as April Kepner. What?
Who's Mara Keaton?
Yeah.
I'm clicking on it.
Oh, no. It's...
chick. Yeah. That his mom set him up
I thought One Step Too Far was like a movie. I was like, these are cross universes. This doesn't make any sense. Okay.
This episode marks the first in which Boki is seen without her trademark glasses. However, this is only happens before the surgery starts. When she's shown in the middle of Derek's surgery later, she's donning the glasses.
We are led to believe Arizona also died in the crash until the last few minutes of the episode.
After this episode, Eric Dane appeared on The Ellen Show and joked that nobody really dies on Grey's, as they either come back as a ghost or have a hospital wing named after them. Coincidentally, the entire hospital would be renamed after his character and Kyler Lee's by the end of the season.
I tried
to find that clip on Ellen and I couldn't find it.
The intern Appy traditionally occurs on the intern's first shift. However, Meredith had the intern Appy occur weeks, if not months, after the intern's first shift. Interesting.
With the introduction of this set of interns, patterns of the gender makeup of intern classes can be seen. Let's just alternate these. Dr. Bailey has stated that she was the only female intern in her intern class.
When the original five were interns, Christina noted that there were only six women out of 20 interns.
This nearly an even mix of males and females continues in the intern class introduced in the season 4 premiere.
However, in this intern class, only one male is featured among 4 other female interns. This is a flip in gender makeup from Dr. Bailey's class. It is unknown if this is mirroring or if this mirroring was purposeful or simply a coincidence.
Goof. One of the video clips of Mark shows him teaching Avery a plastics technique and allowing him to finish the surgery. The video is dated 2010, but Mark hadn't started mentoring Avery until the season 8 premiere, which, because of the holidays shown in that season, correlating until... These are so obnoxious. Basically, the date it took place in fall of 2011.
Whatever. Goof. When Meredith is writing on the OR board, in the first shot, her name is already on the board. Joe Wilson's is not. In the second shot, Joe's name is on the board and Meredith's name disappeared.
Ooh, this one's dumb too. The baby Mark is rocking doesn't look like Sophia.
Oh, dude, I had that as one of my notes. To be completely fair, I was like, that is not Sophia. Like, it looks
like it's just his other illegitimate child.
Well, like, literally, her like hair was so much darker.
Light?
And this baby's hair was so light. Like,
do you think that they alerted Mark's other daughter that he died?
Oh, Sloan? I don't know. Probably not.
Yeah, Sloan.
Yeah. Goof, the video of Mark at Callie and Arizona's wedding is dated 2009, but they were married in 2011.
Goddamn, whoever edited that episode.
Yeah.
Remember the Time. This episode's title originated from the song Remember the Time, originally sung by Michael Jackson.
This episode scored 10.84 million viewers.
This episode is a flashback episode that shows what happened to each survivor of the plane crash between the season 8 finale and the season 9 premiere.
This episode marks the final appearance of Eric Dane as Mark Sloan.
Until that weird episode in whatever, like 2 ago, where there was like a weird hyro or like a, remember he was like in the background?
Oh,
like,
yeah. Yeah.
Alex is the one to amputate Arizona's leg. This is unusual as he is a pediatric surgeon, so he normally only operates on kids.
The episode chronologically tells what happened to Meredith first, then Derek, then Christina, followed by Mark, and finally Arizona. In the last 5 minutes of the episode, all their stories come together.
While on the plane, Dr. Bailey says to Dr. Weber, all I keep thinking is that we're going to crash on some tropical island and get attacked by a polar bear. This is an obvious reference to the former ABC TV show Lost. Dr. Weber misses this reference, and Dr. Bailey, a sci-fi lover, tells him he should watch more TV.
All right, I'm giving my Catherine Fox Award to Mark Surge.
I am as well. I think it's his last episode. He really gave some great advice. He literally changed Jackson's life, and we got to give him that.
Yeah.
I'm giving this a 10 out of 10. I liked these two better than the finale. I love a send-off episode. Like, give me the last episode of any Grey's character, and I'm going to love it. They just make me sad, but not in a, like, Derek's skin is being sewed up with a paperclip. Like, this is, like, a good Grey's sad. So yeah. I am here for it.
Love it. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10 just because I don't love the new interns. That's the only thing. And,
Okay.
I mean, I'm remembering how I felt about it in the past. I didn't love it, and I still don't. I think I'll
That's fine.
Grow into them a little bit more, but that's the one thing that bumped it down a point for me. It's new interns.
That's everything totally else is great. Okay. Wow, guys, we did it.
Wow, I can't believe it. So season 9, here we come. Once again, if you didn't listen to the beginning of the episode, we wanted to let our patrons know that we are pausing your payments for the month of April. We are still providing all of, we're presiding, Jesus Christ, providing episodes, bonus episodes, a Zoom meeting, all of the things, but we're just not charging you. I would probably say we're gonna try and figure out co-hosts, but it's a little more difficult with social distancing, so give us some time on that. But we will get back to it for sure.
Yeah, actually, that's a very good point. I don't know how to do that.
Yeah, so we're going to have to brainstorm with that. But we definitely want to continue, or we will continue having co-hosts on. But the social distancing thing is complicated.
Yeah, we're always going to have people on. I know that sometimes there's a gap, but just remember, I waited 3 years to be on MuggleCast.
Yeah.
If I can wait 3 years, you can wait a few more weeks. We will get to all of you, we promise. We love you so much. Thank you so much. Bree, do you want to call time of death?
You know what? I would love to, Abby. And everyone be safe, be well. We love you. Time of death is 2048.
Beep.
Go Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.